Civitates Foederati and Civitates Liberi, Roman Law and Local Autonomy in Ancient Administration. The Roman Empire, a vast and enduring civilization, often conjures images of legions, emperors, and sprawling aqueducts. Yet, beneath the veneer of imperial authority lay a complex tapestry of governance, one that grappled with the delicate balance between centralized power and local autonomy. For its myriad territories and diverse peoples, Rome employed a sophisticated system of legal and administrative classifications, most notably distinguishing between civitates foederati, federated states, and civitates liberi, free cities. Imagine Rome not as a monolithic entity, but as a vast network of alliances and agreements. This was the reality for many communities incorporated into its orbit. A civitas foederata was a city or state that had a treaty, or foedus, with Rome. These treaties varied significantly, but generally granted a degree of autonomy in internal affairs. The inhabitants of these cities often retained their own laws, customs, and governance structures. However, they were obligated to provide troops and financial support to Rome in times of war, effectively becoming allies bound by a formal pact. Think of it like a powerful patron offering protection and trade benefits to a smaller community, in exchange for loyalty and military service. The foedus was the legal document, the handshake across centuries, that cemented this relationship. For instance, cities like Tibur, modern Tivoli, and Praeneste, located near Rome itself, held foederate status for extended periods, maintaining their own senates and magistrates while contributing to Roman military campaigns. On the other hand, civitates liberi enjoyed an even more exalted status. These were cities that had been granted significant freedoms and immunities, often by special decree or charter, without necessarily being bound by a formal foedus that mandated military contribution. Their local laws and customs were generally respected, and they were largely exempt from direct Roman taxation or interference in their internal administration. These cities were, in essence, self-governing entities within the broader Roman world. The spectrum of Roman influence was not a simple black and white. The reality on the ground was often nuanced, with the degree of Roman legal imposition varying greatly depending on the specific treaty, the city's historical importance, and the prevailing political climate. Roman governors, while theoretically overseeing vast provinces, often found it more pragmatic to work with existing local elites and legal frameworks rather than attempting a complete overhaul. The question then arises, to what extent did Roman law truly supersede local governance? While the Ius Romanum, Roman law, served as the overarching legal framework for the empire, particularly in matters of citizenship, military service, and interstate relations, the day-to-day administration of justice and local affairs often continued under indigenous laws, provided they did not contradict fundamental Roman principles. This created a fascinating legal hybridity. For example, commercial disputes might be settled according to local customs, while a crime involving Roman citizens or Roman interests would fall under Roman jurisdiction. The fall of the Western Roman Empire in 476 AD did not erase this legacy. The administrative structures and legal principles that Rome had established, including the precedents set by its relationships with civitates foederati and civitates liberi, continued to influence the emerging kingdoms of post-Roman Europe. The very concept of allied or free cities, with a degree of self-governance, echoed in medieval city-states and chartered towns. Understanding these classifications offers a more profound insight into Roman imperial strategy. It reveals a pragmatic approach that valued cooperation and integration over outright subjugation. By allowing a significant degree of local autonomy, Rome fostered a sense of partnership, albeit one weighted heavily in its favor. This approach, while not without its tensions and complexities, was a key factor in the longevity and expansive reach of Roman civilization. The echoes of civitates foederati and civitates liberi remind us that even the mightiest empires are built not just on conquest, but on a delicate negotiation of power and custom.